Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is when Tracy recording at 1:23 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October. Excuse me. It is November 2nd, and I'm starting off today with the gilt yield, which pulled back fairly sharply today, down to 1.25%, and that is on the back of Mark Carney raising interest rates back up to half a percentage point. That is back to the level that the rate was prior to the Brexit decision over a year and a half ago now. But what the market has concluded is that something along the lines of one and done, that it's going to be quite some time before the UK raises interest rates again. And that has knocked back the yield because there isn't going to be any great deal of urgency in the next interest rate hike. But also, the pound pulled back in a very dynamic manner from the region of the trend mean against the euro. And that is confirming the progression of lower rally highs is still intact, and that this is still a medium-term downtrend. And having completed the reversion to the mean, this is a pretty emphatic slapdown for the pound. So it could be ranging below this 115 level for a fair amount of time. Or the 114 level to be more correct. Then when we look at it versus the euro, excuse me, the dollar, that it had been pushing back up towards the upper side of the October range, but is now right at the bottom side, and it is now once more testing the region of the trend mean, which has been around this 130 area. And this is rather a do or die moment because there's been a progression of higher reaction lows for the dollar, for the excuse me, the pound against the dollar since the end of 2016, and we are now testing the most recent of those. So the pound will need to rally and pretty smartly if the broad consistency of that advance over the last year is to hold. But there is no cloud without some form of silver lining, and the stock market has pushed back up towards the upper side of the range. The FTSE 100 and indeed the FTSE 350 have both been range bound for much of the last 6 months, but they are pushing back up towards the upper side of their ranges at the present moment, and really a clear downward dynamic would be required to check potential for a sustained move above 7600, for example, on the FTSE 100. Meanwhile, the AIM 100 index, the pace of the advance has moderated. It has been susceptible to a couple of pullbacks over the last 6 months, but it has held the progression of higher reaction lows, and again it was at a new high yesterday and held on to the vast majority of the advance in here today. So while it is overbought in the short term and there is the risk at some point that we are going to get a reversion to the mean, there is a little evidence of that just yet. Then we also had some news out of the US with Jay Powell being anointed as the next Fed chair, and then we had the release of the Republican tax plan, and there are a number of important aspects to it, but perhaps the biggest one is what the ramifications are of the tax that could be imposed upon the profits of multinationals. Companies like Apple have got hundreds of billions of dollars offshore, and they are potentially going to become subject to windfall taxes. That didn't impact the share at all in here today. It was well off its low, and it has paused in the region of $170, but not in a dynamic manner. And perhaps we are not seeing so much of a pullback because perhaps the market had anticipated that any tax on those overseas earnings might have been larger. What is interesting is that the US government is trying to incentivize these companies to invest in infrastructure, that their tax would be lower if they invested in infrastructure rather than simply holding the money offshore. But they would, of course, also benefit, on the other hand, from the reduced corporate taxes. So this tax plan would be certainly coming out as good on one hand and challenging on another, but probably positive from the corporate perspective in aggregate. The S&P 500 banks index had been ranging for most of this year, but it broke higher in October and it was in additional positive territory in here today, reversing an earlier decline to finish at a new closing high. And this continues to represent a bullish environment. And if the banks are doing well, then that is something that is a tailwind for the broader stock market. If the banks were underperforming, or not least if they were trending lower, then that would be something to worry about. So far, it has been the large banks that have benefited most. The KBW Regional Banks Index has rallied to break the progression of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of this year, but it hasn't yet moved to a new high, so it is lagging the much bigger banks. But of course, it has outperformed by a considerable margin over the period from the lows back in 2009, and it is in fact at new all-time highs. So this is the first big consolidation after the move to new all-time highs. So perhaps we should give it the benefit of the doubt, but it needs to hold that 100 level at the bare minimum if the consistency of the advance is going to be given the benefit of the doubt. And Bitcoin made headlines in here today because it was breaking through the 7,000 level and held the advance through the end of the day. But there is clear acceleration going on here. And of course, this is not the first time that Bitcoin has accelerated. The fact that it broke above the 3,000 level and rallied to 5,000, which was a $2,000 advance in August. And now that it has broken through 5 and rallied to over 7, which in fact is more like a 2,400 point dollar advance, may have some people thinking that there is the potential here for some profit taking. And if the broad consistency of this advance is going to hold, then that 5,000 level represents the upper side of the underlying trading range and should represent an area of support during any pullback. And we know from the history of Bitcoin that it is more than susceptible to swinging pullbacks. And there's nothing that has happened to really question that that isn't going to remain the case. When we look at the oil market, it was down in a dynamic manner yesterday, but it has not held the decline. And I had described that as a key reversal yesterday, but it wasn't able to hold the decline. And in fact, it was in positive territory today, finding support in the region of $60. So that would suggest that we have not had confirmation of a near-term, or I guess more than a near-term peak. It is a near-term peak. We might get some consolidation in this level, but that is so far what the pullback has been limited to. And the Dow Jones has been relatively inert. This has been a pretty, and I think when we look at the chart and see that it hasn't moved more than about 100 points in about 9 sessions, but it was up 81 in here today, so it's at a new closing high. But again, this has been a range pretty similar to the one that we saw at the end of September, and it will need to improve upon that performance tomorrow to reassert demand dominance. But there has been a distinct absence of downward dynamics. This continues to represent really a very powerful bullish environment. And when we look at it on that weekly chart, there is a clear pickup to the pace of the advance. And if it does not spend some additional time ranging here, then we have no other choice but to conclude that it is accelerating. And well, we know that acceleration is a trend ending. It's a trend ending of undetermined duration, but a trend ending nonetheless. And then I think people will start to be looking at that 25,000 level as a question mark as to whether the market is going to get to that level before we get a more substantial pullback. The VIX index, which had popped on the upside last week, has popped back below the 10 level again in here today, down in a rather dynamic fashion, back below that psychological 10 level. And you can see that if we only looked at just the last year, that it has spent a good deal of time trading below 10. But within the context of the history of the entire index, the number of times that it has, well, let's just put it another way, that almost every time that it has traded below 10 has happened in the last 6 months. And I think that is a rather extraordinary set of circumstances. It does mean that the volatility trade, which is contributing to this just rivetingly consistent advance on the Dow Jones, for example, or indeed the fact that the S&P 500 has gone almost a year without pulling back by more than 3%, then that is a that really is a very powerful bullish environment. And it is being driven not only by the low volatility, but that the contributing factors to that low volatility are the fact that we still have abundant liquidity and we still have a low interest rate environment. And while the Yellen Fed has signaled that they want to raise rates again by the end of this year, that isn't putting a great deal of fright into investors at the present moment. So, the status quo remains intact, and a reaction of more than 80 points on the S&P 500 would be required to question the broad consistency of this advance. And as long as it remains in a consistent advance, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And the Nikkei. And I really am kicking myself that I decided to take my profits because the price has continued to move higher from here. And it was up another additional almost 120 points in here today, but it is getting increasingly overextended. There's no evidence just yet that it has stopped moving higher, and a clear downward dynamic would be required to check momentum. The yen has been ranging versus the dollar now for most of the year, and the dollar is back up testing this 115 area, and it was off its lows in here today. And I think what we've seen over the last month, particularly since the end of September, is different to what we've seen at previous runs up to this level. Back in March, May, and July, when the dollar got up to these levels, it got up there in a hurry and then it pulled back in a hurry. Whereas on this occasion, it has spent more time getting up there, and then it has not pulled back in a hurry when it's reached these 114 levels. And I think that the likelihood is that it will break on the upside. That will add additional fuel to the Nikkei's advance, and not least over the medium term. In the short term, this is a powerful breakout. And when we look at this on the really long-term scale, this is a powerful break above 20,000. It's the first time since the early 1990s that the index has been able to clear this level. It is now pretty close to the levels that we saw back in 1996. And as long as it is holding the move above 20,000, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. If the Nikkei does in fact hold the move above 20,000, we can conclude that Japan is back in a secular bull market, and that is something that I think the vast majority of people gave no credence to really for much of the last couple of decades. It's really a profound change in the markets. The Bombay Banks Index has completed the most recent range, and it is at new highs. And as long as the banks are continuing to do well, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. That doesn't mean that India won't be susceptible to the occasional pullback, but as long as it is finding support in the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. India is very clearly an environment where governance is improving. And Alibaba also came out with their earnings today, and they were more impressive than many had been anticipating. But the share, having got all the way up to new highs, closed in negative territory, and it is a bit overbought in the short term. And I think that is that when we just look at I think draw the thread of commonality across lots of the different assets that we've been looking at, that this is a pretty common condition that we have seen really very impressive moves in a significant number of assets. And for example, the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index is clearly accelerating higher at this stage, and has been up on consecutive weeks for, I think it's without counting, it's probably about 8 weeks on the upside. So there is no doubt that the pace of the advance is picking up, and that in the absence of some consolidation, which I contend would be healthy, that we are moving into an accelerating environment. And it's an accelerating environment because one of the clear outcomes of the Fed, excuse me, the Republicans' tax reform bill has been that they're going to run bigger deficits. And in an environment where you have full employment, these are pro-cyclical policies, and that is going to create a short-term bump in economic activity, and create more asset price inflation, and eventually those debts will have to be repaid, and then we will have a big question. But in the meantime, there's plenty of room for asset prices to inflate, and I think that is what is helping to stoke investor interest and contributing to this really persistent advance. On successive audios, I've highlighted things like the fact that sovereign, or excuse me, credit spreads are still really quite tight, that we still have a positive yield curve, and one of the things that I think is worth watching is oil. Because of all the potential lead indicators for a recession, surging oil prices are the one that are least considered, and perhaps one of the most reliable, that very high oil prices contribute to a headwind to growth. And Brent crude has moved above the $60 area, and it has held it. And while there is potential for some consolidation following the downward dynamic yesterday, I think that this is a market worth monitoring, because in the event that we get prices moving substantially higher from here, and I don't particularly think that that is a strong likelihood, but nonetheless, when we look at the price action, and we know that ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and that it has been ranging below $60 for quite some time, and it is at new highs, then we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, at least in the short term. Then there is the potential that higher oil prices could become a headwind to growth at some point next year. So this is another potential eventuality that is worth considering. But in the absence of clear evidence of an end to this period of synchronized global economic expansion, then the likelihood is that we are going to have better performance from stock markets, that Europe is going to continue to play catch up, that the emerging markets will do well, and that the commodity complex, well, it will remain on a recovery trajectory. The industrial metals took a little bit of a breather today, not least because the dollar was a little bit firmer. But when we look at the continuous commodity index, it has broken back above the trend mean, and it is now starting to look more like a recovery candidate. And that's an unweighted index, so it gives us a broad perspective on what's happening with the commodity complex. And as long as it is trading above 400, then I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And with that, I think I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.